Jack and Jill here.
Hi.
Welcome to the Jack Jill Show. Entertaining real estate investment talk. I'm Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about those unlikely SFR deal killers, single-family residential wholesaling deal killers that lurk in the background and you may or may not be familiar with.
Yeah. I can't wait. I'm sure you have a long list. This is kind of one of yours.
I do.
So I'm happy to...
We're going to talk about land killers, too.
Okay,
and deal
cool.
killers. Before we get into it, though, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the jackjill.com online community. It's free.
Okay. Chris asks, hi, all. Up till this point, I have always used a cashier's check to purchase my properties with no problems at all. That is until this past week when I had a seller back out of a deal after he had agreed to sell and all the due diligence checked out. I sent the deed and cashier's check to the notary to close the deal. The notary then contacted the seller to find out that he was not going to sign and backed out of the deal. There are other details that I should have listened to before sending the envelope, but when the seller agreed, I was all too happy to run to the bank. Having the seller back out of the deal caused me to have the bank put a stop payment on that cashier's check.
Okay, hold on a second, Joe. I didn't know that was possible.
I didn't either. You know, to be honest with you, I was going to finish the question and then cover this stuff.
Okay, go.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Go ahead.
Researching after the fact, I didn't think the bank should have granted this because now they are in a double jeopardy situation that should a check be presented, they have to honor it. Well, that's kind of their problem. Nonetheless, I was wondering if cashier's checks are the best option or would a business check serve me better in terms of having more control should a seller back out again? Had the bank not placed a stop payment on that cashier's check, those funds can be locked up, depending on the bank, indefinitely. Obviously, the seller, having that bank guarantee, can offer them a sense of confidence that they're not going to be taken advantage of. I'm sure there will be various views, and I look forward to everyone's ideas on this. Thanks, Chris. So my first thing was, I personally do not worry about these situations because the seller never got the money. And so this is why we have the unrelated third party, aka the notary that you hired in their city, who's handling the transaction. They have the money, they have the deed, they have everything, and they don't hand them that envelope with a cashier's check until they sign. So I wouldn't have even done any of this work. This for me was kind of a couple extra steps. I kind of understand where you're coming from, but for me, the fastest thing is, well, hey, notary, it's obviously not going to happen. So in that package, remember, you already have a prepaid return envelope for you that you were going to send the deed back in. So please just put everything back in that envelope and overnight it to me.
Yeah.
So now say this was Monday. This all happened on Tuesday. So now Wednesday, I'm holding this cashier check in my hand. I walk right into my bank. I deposit it. And now I have the money right back in my account. That's for me the easiest way. So do you have anything you want to add?
No, I mean, you could not have said it better. Is there a better way to do a deal from different states for not the way Jill's described? No. Cashier's check. I've always been told this about cashier's check. It's like cash.
Mm-hmm.
You take it out of the account. You're holding a piece of paper. It might be a $100 bill. It might be a cashier's check. And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't spend the $100 on whatever you thought, you go back to the bank and put it back in.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I personally wouldn't be. Yeah, I'm not comfortable. Even the bank doing this and everything, I would not be comfortable with that because I know it's out there.
Yeah.
So until the notary overnighted it back to me in the envelope that they have in their hand, you know, and I have it in my possession, I wouldn't feel comfortable at all.
The situation that you're describing is the reason that we hire a notary local to the seller, mm-hmm, to manage that for us.
And we do cashier's checks.
That's the reason that we don't just send a cashier's check and a bunch of documents for the person to sign, like UPS.
Right.
Because you don't know that they're going to sign them. The notary ensures that, or gives you a sense of security anyway, mm-hmm, that it's going to be signed.
And it's easier than wiring the money because you want the seller to feel good. You want them to stand there staring at the check. You know, if you said, okay, so as soon as you sign, the notary's going to call me and I'll wire the money. That's a huge pain.
Right.
You know, and that doesn't lead a lot of, for me as a seller, you know, it depends on the situation and what you're doing, but for most of these guys, if I'm just selling you a couple $1,000 property and you're saying you're going to wire the money and I just signed it and I'm standing there waiting, that's a huge pain too. I don't want that.
I can honestly say from experience, I mean, Joe and I have done thousands and thousands of deals. I can't recall a time where we lost, like the check got lost or the seller and the documents didn't get signed and we lost the money.
Correct.
There's lots of times where they change their mind, they send the stuff back, we redeposit, it's over. The deal didn't happen. But I can't, can you think of a time where it's just like, it just all blew up in your face. We lost some money and didn't get the property.
No.
Neither can I.
No.
So it's a time-tested option.
Exactly. So hopefully that helps, Chris. So next time, don't bother with the bank. Just have them send it right back if it happens again. Hopefully this, so.
Right.
All good.
Today's topic, unlikely single family residential wholesale deal killers. This is the meat of the show. So you're traveling around along the line, doing everything you're supposed to do. You get a great data set. You send a bunch of offers out. And the numbers work. You price it correctly, and you send out 2,000 to 3,000 offers to buy a house, and 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 come back. So you start to look into the houses, just like you're supposed to, and there's things that creep up that can kill the deal that you don't really think about before you do all this. Do you have a list, Joe?
Before the deal?
So somebody signs an offer. You're staring at the offer at the desk. You're looking at the computer. You're looking at the actual house, the property on the internet, on Google Earth or wherever you check it out. And you're just sitting, in this situation, what I do is I try to find something wrong. All right.
Right.
I know the price is right because I priced it and they signed it.
Right.
I know the zip code's good for the whole, I know that's good. I've checked Zillow, Trulia, values are all good. But then, you know, sometimes we still don't do deals.
Well, before like inspection and physical things, because that's one thing that you don't, we that's usually our first step. When the offers come back, the first thing we're going to do is let's just do a quick inspection. We can do it for under $400, including termites. And that's what we're doing. And then we can sign off on it once we make sure we got nothing crazy staring at us, mm-hmm. kind of thing. Also, we've already checked too. Let's back up in the process. We checked, we pull lien reports and all that stuff. We have access to all of that. So we're basically our own title company, which is really nice. The deal comes in, my team jumps in, and we're pulling our own lien reports, making sure everything checks out. We got the right people, they're able to sign. Yep, no mortgage, everything's cool. Now let's order, all of that's happening, now we're gonna order the inspection. Now I'm really staring at a good deal, kind of thing. So you're saying right before, so those are the things that could go wrong. So I guess that's what you're asking. A deal color would be the guy calls up and doesn't really own the house. He might be living there. That's and it's his uncle's house and his uncle passed.
You named it. You nailed it. The single number one deal killer that we experience, both houses and land, is that the person that you're talking to, they don't even know this. They can't deed this property over.
Right.
It's either that or these crazy liens that you find on a house. And I don't mean like a mechanics lien for a guy that fixed a garage 18 years ago. I mean, there's a mortgage on the house, but the guy hasn't been paying for it, and nobody started a foreclosure proceeding.
Mm-hmm.
And this is 5 years old.
Right.
So the things are not, the things that'll kill a land or a house deal, you can't see them.
Mm-hmm.
They're all in the basic, the deal structure itself.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's not very fun to talk about. Let's talk about some stuff that could kill a deal, you know, 2 days before it's closed. Like like the neighbor is raising 12 sled dogs. There's no way you can know that if you're buying a house in a different state, unless you have some type of representation there.
That's
funny. I don't mean representation. I mean boots on the ground.
I say, let's make it good. Sled dogs I can work with. Let's just say they're cooking meth in the garage.
Meth comes up in our office all the time as a joke, but on
it's
the
Breaking Bad. There's too much Breaking Bad still, because now you're going back through the whole series as if once wasn't enough.
I'm not sure on the air we should talk about drugs.
That's true. I'm sorry. But it is kind of funny, I got to say, that you've officially decided that kid number 3, this is like a life lesson or a life, a learning experience that he needs to go through the whole series with you.
What, Breaking Bad?
Yes.
Yeah, again, we're talking about drugs.
Sorry. I'm talking about a show. I'm talking about a show. And a kiss, so. All right. What else?
What's killed the deal for us recently? Land or houses?
Well, I mean, price. You know, that's one of the things. This is a good note that whether you're new or you're there or your employees are new, you've got to learn that not every deal, just because it comes back, is closable. You know, that's the whole thing. And I talked with our team about it recently too. Like, hey, I think the only reason we're all jumping up and down trying to make this one work is because this is the hot one right now today. Hang on a moment. Tomorrow we're going to have five more and we're not going to care about this one. So let's all take a step back and look at this objectively. You know, sometimes you're trying to make a deal happen when there's really not a good deal. Maybe the price was off. Like, maybe we found something else out, like you just said. Even the stuff like we talked about, where the person may not be the right person that can sell the property, but okay, now everybody's scrambling to find who is the right person. Oh, and convince them. Is that really the right thing to do?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this on the show. I agree with you completely. You're seeing something that's not there.
Right.
You're not looking at the deal for what it is without any emotion. Mm-hmm. You're just on autopilot trying to close the deal.
Exactly.
So that'll kill a deal. We had a deal recently where the property had, the person purchased the solar panel system, and they were paying it off over 30 years, if you can believe that. So that got, we figured that all out and got that out of the way. But it's still, there's issues that come up. Mm-hmm. You just have to be thorough. And this is even with, you know, I wouldn't personally never close a house deal without title insurance. Mm-hmm. You know, this is with Jill's exactly right. You have to, if you're going to do this seriously for a living, you have to be some version of your own title situation.
That takes a lot of the work and the worry out for us. I can't imagine if we didn't, you know, going into this brand new and not having these tools. What if you just said, hey, I'm going to, even just these brand new renovators that just say, hey, I'm going to be a flipper today, kind of thing. Okay. And they, you know, they watch HGTV and they think they got this, and they run out and they convince their parents and their family, everybody, to help them fund this deal. But they don't have the tools and stuff that we have going into it. That would be scary.
Yeah. Here's a deal killer: time. The longer it takes to complete a deal, the more likely that it won't close. So here's how we structure our house deals. The letter comes back. We check all the boxes. We open escrow. This is all within one day, and we order an inspection, a physical plant inspection. The inspection usually comes back within 3 days. If the inspection clears, we fund the deal within 5 days of the inspection. So now we're into the whole thing for maybe 2 business weeks, 10 business days or 14 calendar days. Mm-hmm. That doesn't give the seller a lot of time to change their mind or undo the deal. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't give us, it pushes our feet to the fire to make a decision. Mm-hmm. So time can really sneak up and kill deals. Mm-hmm. For land, because there's usually no escrow, and there's certainly no inspection, we close deals in 3 days sometimes. Mm-hmm. When it's a great deal. Remember, you know, we used to say run to the bank. Mm-hmm. Run to the bank and get the thing done. You mm-hmm. can overnight it and have it sent over back and recorded in 3 days.
Mm-hmm. But even faster now with online recording.
There's no other place that I can think of except a garage sale, where you can buy an asset for a hunt. Well, you can't do it at a garage sale, but the concept is the same. You can buy an asset for half of what it's worth. There's no other business that I can think of. I mean, you could do it with cars, but it's real hard.
Right.
Buy a $100,000 piece of dirt in 3 days and create $100,000 additional equity.
Exactly.
Sell it for $200,000 and it's worth way more. These are the kinds of, this is the stuff we do all the time. Mm-hmm. It's a real option. Do your homework, I guess, is the whole point of this.
Exactly.
And we're not doing we're not your parents telling you to be careful.
Use protection. Hilarious.
It's not a be careful. Oh my gosh, you're really going to get hurt. Don't leave the house today.
Right.
That's not what we're saying. We're saying, you know, send 1 million letters out. Knock yourself out like we do. Just
you know what?
Just exercise some level-headed caution. That's really what we're saying.
Well, let me tell you what we do. Like, okay, because we're talking a lot about houses now, because that's really what we've been focusing on a lot the last few months here as we're working on House Academy. So what we started with was our own basic, we brought in a team. We've been doing this for a while, but we're changing up how we do it. We're building up a team to take it to a big level, okay? So what do? We start with our own basic checklist. Maybe I've had 5 things on there, which is check ownership, let's get the inspection, open escrow, you know, fund, close deal, pass on to, you know, buyer, you know, that kind of thing. Well, it's probably got 30 items on there now. And this is what you should do. So sit down, spend some time, have a plan in place of what you think are all the steps that you're going to need to do, whether it's land or a house, just like we do. And, you know, don't print it out. It's not in stone, because you're going to be scratching all over the thing. You know, it's going to grow. And you're just going to add, because I've said all day, it's funny, because it's through this whole process as we've been building this up, I tell my team, all right, add that to the list. Okay, add that to the list. We didn't even think about that one. Add that to the list. Like this, we joke about it, but the solar panel thing. Then it's not like a solar panels are a deal killing issue. This particular transaction had a weird lease on them.
Yeah.
And then they wouldn't come and get them even if you bought them off. And even if you paid them out, which everybody's ready to pay out of escrow, just pay off the stupid solar panels so it comes free with the house kind of thing. But then there was still the equipment on the roof issue. I mean, there's all kinds of little things that we go like, wow.
Solar panels in general are good. It's just that this deal
was
really bad.
This one, unfortunately, this poor seller got one of the, whoever it is, not every company's out there to really help people. Surprise, surprise. So, and they were clearly not out there to help her, because even though they're paid off, they won't come get them. They want to go out the full 20-something years, and then they may come get them. And then in the meantime, you know, any warranty, it's weird stuff. But so anyway, your list and your due diligence is going to grow, and you're going to add to it, and you're going to go, oh, I'll remember that one. I'll tell you, here's another funny thing. Like, this happens every month. We have a member call with all of our Land Academy members. And we all talk about different things, and we help each other and bring stuff up. And I tell you, it's like every week there's one person that says, yeah, I forgot to check X and I won't do that again. Like, like back taxes. That's a simple, easy one. But if you're brand new, you might miss that. You might not think.
Or is there an HOA?
Yeah. Or an HOA or some little thing like that. You're like, oh, oops. And that's okay. That's how you learn. We jokingly tell them, and you know, well, you know, you won't do that again. And you usually don't. So be ready, you know, that's it's all good.
I mean, a lot of it is learn from us.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think there's no replacement for doing it and kind of making a couple of mistakes and then saying, oh my gosh, I'll never do that again.
Right. Well, that's the best. Like you just said, learn from us. Learn from somebody who's been there and done it. You know, that's the thing. I think that a lot of people, one of the big values I know that all of our members find from our Land Academy program is we arm them with all this stuff. So they have the list. They know what they're doing, you know. And if they forgot one, they're like, oh, shoot. Yeah, I know you said it. I missed it. You know, I forgot. Whatever. But we're there to help all the way through.
Exactly.
And here with House Academy, too.
Well, you've done it again. You spent another 20 minutes with us on the Jack and Jill Show. Join us tomorrow where we discuss signs the signs that you may see in yourself that you're in it for the long haul. We're obviously in it for the long haul, and we'll tell you why.
Are we?
This feels like a long time.
You know, Jack, this whole period right now just feels like a lifetime. Just kidding.
Jill, I couldn't agree with you more.
All right. And we answer your question, should you have one, posted on jackjill.com, our online community. It's free. Go check it out.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition.
Do you know there's times that where things are going great and you feel great and it's like, wow, this like week went by so fast. This is so much fun. And there's times that you go, wow, was it only a week? It felt like a month.
Yeah. I know.
And like today.
Today?
Just kidding. Love you, Jack. But like today.
Oh,
so
my gosh.
If you feel the same as I do, please share this fun by subscribing on iTunes or wherever you're listening. And while you're at it, please rate us there. We are Jack and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.